This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back into our Thursday edition of Sports Talk, getting ready for some Pelicans basketball on 8 o'clock tip-off on 870 AM and 105.3 FM. To help us do some bird watching, we got Ali Cosell, NBA writer, who covers the Pels. Ali, how you been, man? You enjoying your Mardi Gras?
Good evening, Steve. Yeah, absolutely, right? This weather finally shaped up.
Amen.
The past few days. It's great. And it's supposed to continue, it sounds like.
Last two victories for the Pels, taking down the Spurs in the Smoothie King Center. Just before we get into some bird talk, curious to know if you think we've seen the last of Chris Paul in the arena. I know there was a lot of speculation on that, this could be his final season.
Yeah, it could very well be, right? I mean, he's pretty much accomplished everything but win the championship.
Right.
And I'm guessing that he probably doesn't think that he can even be a main cog for a team to do that anymore. So it's probably lost its luster, I guess. So, yeah, I hope it isn't. But then again, you know, everything can't last forever, right? All good things can't last forever. So one thing I would like to see, though, is I hope New Orleans, when he does retire, they honor him in some way, right? Maybe hang his jersey or something in the Raptors. Because if you think about it, he left on way better terms than, say, Anthony Davis or Eric Gordon, right? Some other guys in the past. And moreover, I mean, he was like an MVP caliber type player, right? I mean, he should have won it that one year that Kobe sold it from him. So, yeah, he should be celebrated, but let's wait until we get that official word.
Yeah, that would be nice if we can get the Pels basketball back to where it once was. I know that's when I was like first moved down to the New Orleans area, and just it was – tons of excitement. The arena was rocking, and you know, you had the Crescent City connection going. This Pels team this year, we know about the issues they've had. The injuries have been a burden on them, and luckily, man, it was scary to see Trey Murphy going down late in the game against the Spurs, but he ended up being all right. But two in a row now for the Birds, three of their last four games, and now beginning this four-game Mardi Gras road trip against the Phoenix Suns team that we know has just been struggling mightily, and you know they don't seem to have an answer for what's going on right now. What are your takes on this matchup going into the Suns game? I know, unfortunately, one of the new additions in Kelly Olynyk won't be available in this, and he's definitely provided a surprisingly big presence right away.
Yeah, Kelly Olynyk's been a great surprise, right? I think we all expected more from Bruce Brown in terms of contributions and impact, but it's been the other way around. So I think the Pelicans have found, honestly, their backup center for at least next season, right? He's got one more year on his deal anyways, and he seems to be fitting in so well, right, with the guys where I'm hearing in practice, for instance, he's pointing things out to brand new teammates, right? Telling coaches, hey, maybe we should do it this way, right? So sounds like he's an important cog already, and he can spread the floor, right? Career 37% three-point shooter. He's got that chemistry, it looks like, with Zion, right? I mean, I can't get it out of my head, him throwing a half-court lob, alley-oop lob to Zion where he threw down easily. So love everything you've seen from him. But as far as tonight's matchup, yeah, you know, the Suns are more disappointing to me, right, compared to the Pelicans. Pelicans, they got destroyed by injury, right? When you just look and see how many of their players have played compared to the Suns, top three players for this Pels in terms of games played. Eve Missy, Javonte Green, Jeremiah Robinson. When you look at Phoenix, they don't have as many issues, right? Devin Booker's played over 50 games. I think Kevin Durant's at about 45, right? Zion just passed the 20-game played barrier. So they're a team that, what we've been hearing, right, they're just not getting along. The chemistry is non-existent, and things have progressively gotten worse. So what, they're 11th right now, 3 games out of, I think, the play-in tournament even. So they're not heading anywhere fast. But you got to think, with a team with those 3 stars, right, including Bradley Beal, they're going to want to at least try and make an effort. So I think they're going to put up a good fight against the Pelicans where, yeah, they're coming in with a 2-game winning streak, but now that you're already shorthanded without, you know, Kelly Olynyk, yeah, it's probably going to be, you know, a little bit of a rude awakening to start this road trip.
Here's the thing about the Suns that's really intriguing to me. It feels like it's been a slice of humble pie for Matt Ishbia, where,
yeah,
you know, he trades all those picks to Brooklyn, and then he goes and says, oh, I want Bradley Beal. We'll take on that money. And, you know, they move on from Frank Vogel, and they bring in Mike Budenholzer, and they get off to an okay start. But this February collapse, Ollie, just, I mean, we got to call it what it is. They're 2-9 this month. And that includes losses to Portland. That includes losses to San Antonio, who we just saw the Pelicans wax in back-to-back games. A loss to Toronto. Most recently, the overtime loss to Memphis just that on Tuesday night. They're now 27-31. As you mentioned, they're out of the play-in tournament. They're 11th in the Western Conference. And for a team led by star power like Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, like that's just a smack to the face. I mean, for the expectations that the Suns have, I agree with you, Ali. I think they're one of the most disappointing teams in the NBA.
Yeah, I saw that game where they lost to the Spurs, right? I think that was the first game San Antonio was without Victor Wembanyama. And I was just shocked to see how poorly they were playing, right? Chris Paul was the most fiery guy on the court. And he normally is almost anyways, but he was getting the face of Kevin Durant and all these guys, and they really didn't have much pushback. It's really sad to see, right? I mean, the way Devin Booker's in the prime of his career, Kevin Durant's one of the all-time greats. And Matt Ishbia, you're right. He thought he knew what he was doing, but when you sent out Chris Paul unceremoniously, and you traded DeAndre Ayton just to get Bradley Beal on your team, gave away that young talent, right? Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson. Yeah, I think he turned that franchise much for the worse.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And then Ali, looking a little bit further down their road trip, because they do have the game tonight and tomorrow against Phoenix, but then they have the matchup on Sunday against Utah, and then wrapping up the road trip on Mardi Gras Day at Los Angeles, the Lakers. First and foremost, the Utah Jazz, your thoughts on them? Obviously, they've had a tough year. We remember when the Jazz came to New Orleans for back-to-back games. It was around the time the blizzard was happening. I remember we were stuck in the studio, and we were watching the second game specifically, where the Pelicans made that gigantic comeback. You know, I think CJ McCollum had a monster performance in that game, 45 points. Yeah, there it is. And they won that game in overtime. Your thoughts on the Utah Jazz, and then we'll get to the Lakers in just a little bit.
Yeah, they're feisty, right? I mean, they've had recent wins, what, against the Rockets? I know they beat the Lakers, too, and they've had one other decent win, I want to say. So they've got enough talent to where they can win most nights, right? I mean, Kessler, he's as solid of a center that's not one of those elite centers, right, as you can find in the league. And then Lauri Markkanen, he's been playing much better of late. Their young guys are kind of growing up, like Collier, their rookie, Keontae George, they're contributing. I just like the way they play. They play tough. I mean, you mentioned they've given the Pelicans trouble in recent years, and you kind of see why. Kelly Olynyk was on some of these right pass versions of the Jazz, too, so he had a kind of a hand in some of those Pelicans losses. But, yeah, this is a team that, you know, it's a lot like the Pelicans. They're trying to position themselves for the future, right? So you want to not win too many games this year, get another good draft pick on board, and add to kind of the talent that's already in-house. And like I said, Danny Ainge is running the show. You saw how he built up the Boston Celtics, right, with Tatum and Brown, and he's largely the architect of all the success they're having now. So I wouldn't be surprised if he eventually does it with Utah, too. So, but, yeah, that matchup, though, Pelicans always seem to struggle over there in Utah, right? And then you've got the Lakers. I mean, Pelicans could conceivably lose all 4 of these games on the road, which wouldn't be the first time this season.
Ollie, before Charlie gets into you with the Lakers, just curious, with no Olynyk tonight, do we know who's going to be in the starting lineup? Is it going to end up being Carlo Mackovich?
Yeah, probably will be, right? Because I know that Willie wants to keep kind of the big ball.
Hey, it's been working.
It's worked so well.
Yeah.
Right? The rebounding's there, the points in the paint. Zion can be, he's your point guard. CJ's at the 2, Trey at the 3. And so they like that configuration. So, yeah, fully expect for that tonight.
Yeah, and I think it's been working as far as rebounding as well. Those 2 games against the Spurs, Ali, I remember we were talking with Will Guillory about this the other day. After the first win, it was, I think, like a 60-something to 30-something advantage on the boards for the Pelicans. And that's about a week after David Griffin said they're one of the worst rebounding teams in the last 15 years, which statistically, yes, they're not a very good rebounding team. It was finally nice to see them actually beat someone on the boards. But looking ahead as well, Ali, as I mentioned with this Los Angeles Lakers matchup on Fat Tuesday, the Lakers, I don't know if I've actually ever brought it up to you, the Luka Doncic trade was just unbelievable. And obviously, we're a couple weeks removed from it. Luka's kind of settling in. I know that he put up that triple-double performance against the Mavericks just the other night, and he became the third player in NBA history to have a triple-double against every single team in the NBA. So your thoughts on Luka's fit with the Lakers and obviously, you know, their postseason aspirations, but their matchup with the Pelicans next week as well?
And from a vantage point of a New Orleans follower and fan, I absolutely hate it. But for a Los Angeles perspective, you have to love it, right? You got a guy that's not even in his prime, that's one of the top five, if not top two or three players, probably for the next 10 years in Luka Doncic, right? So you've got your heir apparent to LeBron James. And the reason I like it is because, you know, we've seen it. LeBron's been tasked with doing too much over these last, what, two, 3 years, to where honestly it's driven his body into the ground at times, caused injury and such. So he can't get through an 82-game schedule. You don't want to push a 40-year-old, right, who's already doing incredible things, that much even harder. So I think Luka's going to honestly work out any better to where he's going to be able to control the offense, and now LeBron can pick his spots. And moreover, I think LeBron understands the game so well that he's going to play more of a, at times, like a Draymond Green type role. He's going to be kind of the big, doing the dirty work, getting rebounds, steals, and blocks, and letting Luka, right, run the offense and get the scoring going along with Austin Reeves. So that's why, honestly, I think, guys, the Lakers, they might be my third favorite team to come out of the West, right? If it's all said and done, we're in the playoffs, OKC is everybody's favorite. Then it's like neck and neck for me between the Lakers and Golden State. Because I think both of those trades, right, Luka to the Lakers, Jimmy Butler to the Warriors, has really just changed their chemistry for the better. I know the Lakers are missing right size. You're relying on Jackson Hayes a little bit too much. But I think they can overcome it because most of this league is small anyways. Right. And the Lakers, their defense has been fantastic without Anthony Davis. Kind of a surprise to everybody. So I think they're fine.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
One of the Pels I'm definitely pulling for, Ali, Jordan Hawkins, and he's been getting a lot more minutes lately at least, but still been kind of cold from that three-point range. What's it going to take for this guy to get going?
Yeah, you know, we're watching him closely because you're right. I mean, this has been a heck of a spell. I mean, he opened the season actually decently, then that back issues cropped up, and he hasn't been the same since. He'll have an occasional game where he kind of gets to whatever point total over 10, but usually takes him that amount of shot attempts,
yeah.
Right? So, I mean, that was like that the other night. So when you watch him, he can shoot the spot up, and then he's trying to get to the rim, and at times he's successful. But the problem is his jumper, when he's trying to elevate over guys, it's just not going down. And I'm not sure because I don't have the most trained eyes. I'm not that, you know, shooting expert, but I don't think his shot looks the same either. Some are more line driving. He doesn't have that soft touch like we've seen last year, right? So I think he's just going through things that are probably physical and mental. So I'm just guessing we probably won't even see, you know, the best of Jordan the rest of this year because we're already, what, 3/4 almost through the season, and
right.
He still hasn't found it. I think it's going to take a full offseason for him before he gets comfortable again.
Your thoughts on the minutes for some of these guys as well, Ollie, because I saw Bruce Brown just this past night getting a ton of minutes. Obviously, Kelly Olynyk was getting a good amount of minutes as a starter for the game. But playing the young guys, it feels like that's what the Pelicans should be focusing on this point of the season. You know, Antonio Reeves, as you mentioned, Jordan Hawkins, Steve, but also Carlo, all these guys on the bench that should be getting a ton of minutes for this team at this point of the season to see what you have for them ahead of next year.
Yeah, you know that's going to be the plan, right? I mean, I noticed the other day that I think Kelly didn't even come close to 30 minutes, that they're really dividing up those minutes, right, making sure Carlo gets over 20. And I think Antonio Reeves is eventually going to join that group as well. Can't forget Brandon Boston once he's back, too. I mean, all of a sudden, we don't see Jeremiah Robinson, Earl, for instance, right, last few games, hardly at all has been out there on the court. So, yeah, it's without a doubt focus on development. And I'll tell you what, Carlo Matkovic is finally showing some things, right? The other night had 19 points for a career high. I think he only missed one shot in that game against the Spurs, 7 of 8 shooting. And you just like that he looks more confident, more aggressive chasing rebounds, being able to hold his ground. So I'm very curious if maybe the Pelicans have something there, right? Because he's still going to be under contract for at least next season, maybe two. Not sure. I can't remember off the top of my head. But, yeah, you would hope that he could maybe feel like a Larry Nance role for you. And then with Antonio Reeves, Jordan Hawkins, you want to see these guys find their shot. Same thing with Brandon Boston. He's going to be a part of the rotation. So having all these guys play and play decent minutes is going to be so helpful the next season because a lot of these guys will be back.
We haven't even talked about the big guy, Zion Williamson. Have you been noticing a difference in him at all? I know Trey Murphy said the other night, you know, there's just a different look in his eye, seems to be more committed right now. And, I mean, when he's playing, he's been so efficient. And I don't know if they'll end up ramping up the minutes this season for him. It's, a, you know, kind of a lost year for the Pelicans. What's the point of, you know, extending him right now? But overall, what have been your thoughts on Zion right now?
I've loved it. Ever since he came back from those hamstring couple strains, he's been fantastic. Where on both sides of the ball, you're seeing the Zion you thought that the Pelicans had drafted right out of Duke. Where on both sides, offensively, he's that menace that we've, you know, gotten to know. But defensively now, he's getting those steals, blocks, guarding fast point guards. The other night against the Mavericks, guard Kyrie Irving did a really good job not letting him get it by him multiple times. So when he can play like that, it just takes him to an elite level where he becomes suddenly a top 15 or maybe top 20 player automatically with that high field goal percentage, right? He's an offensive initiator. He is your point guard right for now and probably through the rest of the season. So he's, when you look at his numbers, for instance, Steve, over the last, what, 5-6 weeks per 36 minutes, it's very comparable to what Shai Gilgeous has been doing. Right. So that impact per minute is fantastic. And the fact that we can say it's also on the defensive end, even better. Right. So hopefully this will get the carryover because we haven't seen this Zion. And that's why you want to see him finish the year healthy. Right. So he can work on his game over the summer instead of, say, something like rehab, which has usually been his course of action.
Ollie, I'm going to throw a wild curveball at you right before we let you run. You talked about the Western Conference. The Eastern Conference, there's a great story that I think is being a little bit underreported in NBA circles, and that's the Detroit Pistons, who for the last 3 years have just been a miserable franchise. I think they won a total of 33 games in those three seasons. Right now, they're 31. It was like 31 and 133, I think, was their record. Right now, they're 33 and 26 at sixth place in the Eastern Conference. They're not even in the play-in tournament at this point. They're in the playoffs in the East. They've won 8 straight games. They just picked up a signature victory over the Boston Celtics. And Trajan Langdon, obviously, the ties with New Orleans, so that's part of the reason why I brought it up. But I mean, is there a better story in basketball right now than what the Detroit Pistons are quietly doing?
No. I mean, coming out of the All-Star break, they were already a good story, right? Just making the play-in tournament would have been a great story for them. But now it has to be one of the top stories, if not the top one, right? Eight in a row, you just mentioned, if they can stay in this position, not even have to go through the play-in route. And I'll tell you what, if they can stay at six and the Knicks stay at three, with the way the Knicks have kind of looked a little bit more, let's say, you're not positive of just how good this team is, right? Because they can't beat the really good teams. Well, with the way the Pistons are playing, could the Pistons possibly upset the Knicks, say, in the first-round matchup? Because Cade Cunningham, he's playing like an all-NBA player, right? You were wondering where his career was going, right? He was inefficient. There's a lot of comps saying that he's not even half as good as Brandon Ingram. And this year, he's put it all together, guys. And then they've also got some other young guys. Jalen Duren, he's their center moving forward. Looks good. You've got Malik Beasley. What a great pickup by Trajan Langdon. He's one of the league leaders in three-point shooting. And you just like the toughness and chemistry overall with that team. Yeah, it's clicking for them. I'm happy Trajan went to a spot where he's, you know, basically I hope he gets lauded for all the work that he's done and how they've made a nice turnaround.
Yeah, and I thought they were crazy last year, you know, just giving one and done for Monty Williams, and not so crazy after all.
Yeah, J.B. Bickerstaff is killing it there right now.
Yes.
Ollie, always appreciate your time. Thank you so much, and looking forward to tonight's tip-off, 8 o'clock against the Suns. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Ollie.
Thanks, guys. Have a good Mardi Gras, too.
Thank you, man.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.